On this Friday afternoon, let's now turn our attention to the weather forecast with Eric Snodgrass from Nutrien Ag Solutions. Hi, Eric. Thanks for being with us. Let's jump right into this. Farmers in the Western Corn Belt would like farmers in the Eastern Corn Belt to have a drought. And consequently, farmers in the Eastern Corn Belt would like farmers in the Western Corn Belt to have a drought. Though I was looking at the rainfall, and I'm wondering whether either of those things are going to happen.
Yeah, and I agree with you. It's been one of those years where not only has it been tough for marketing, but it's been really tough for us to figure out the weather pattern. I hate to say this, but I think sometimes it's easier to forecast the weather than to market grain. I really do. But yeah, the rains have been troubling. So we'll get model runs that give us an idea about where the ridge is going to set up. And then what ends up happening is we've really not capped off the Gulf of Mexico. So there's just an abundant amount of moisture in the atmosphere such that any little trigger, a little updraft or a little outflow boundary or a weak front ends up kicking off quite a bit of precipitation. So earlier in the week, big rains in parts of Nebraska, big rains in the Dakotas, rain that came through the drought-parched areas of Minnesota and parts of southern Wisconsin. Then those storms moved through last night into parts of eastern Iowa, northern half of Illinois. They went through Michigan this morning. And so, you know, on the local farms, everybody's happy that they're getting some rain, but then they look at the maps and see that there was a lot of places that got rain. So what we end up having right now is what I kind of call a freckled garden spot, right? So there's pockets in there where you've got guys maybe in central and south central Iowa that missed out on all this, parts of east central Illinois that missed out on this, and pockets in Indiana and Ohio and Michigan that didn't quite get the rain that everybody else got. And so you end up having these very small areas where things are going to look really rough, and then other places that are not looking so bad. And of course, this is all before we start talking about some really serious heat moving in very soon. So it's a strange setup going into July, and it's one we have not seen in a while. And I'll tell you something, there is no good analog for this year up to this point.
How do the models handle it?
Not well. So mid-season, when the jet stream is this far to the north, they are not going to be able to handle picking up on these precipitation patterns well. And here's the reason why, okay? You know, we all hear about the European model. We hear about the GFS. These models are phenomenal in what they're able to do. But one thing that they cannot do is resolve cloud level, so cloud scale features. In other words, thunderstorms. They're not built to handle thunderstorms. In fact, there's not a computer fast enough on the face of the earth should we want to run these things at full cloud resolving scale. So that tells you where we stand with our weather forecasting. There's a lot of cool things that we can still invent and do. But because of that, they're not going to be able to pick up on these hit or miss thunderstorms weeks in advance. So what you end up getting is the model may call for dry weather, but you end up getting storms that pop up just on the heat. So what I always look for is anything shutting off the Gulf? And I haven't found anything that shut it off like it did in 2012, for example, or in the Southern Plains in 2011. So without those features calming down and shutting off, well, we just keep getting these storms that locally drop 1 to 2 inches of rain. And like I said, it seems to be freckling, you know, the Corn Belt with some really big yields in some places and other places missing out on it entirely.
So the heat next week will come with pop-up showers, I assume, from the Gulf of Mexico. How hot will it be?
Well, if we would have talked yesterday or the day before that, we had some model information that would have suggested that I'd be talking about maybe creeping up to triple digit heat. Now, that's before the heat index, but triple digit heat may be in parts of the Eastern Corn Belt, maybe getting as far north as I-80. But then we watched the trend over the last day and a half kind of knock those temperatures back now to the mid-90s. And it's funny, you know, the research would say for corn, sustained heat where you have afternoon highs above 97 for 4, 5, 6 days during pollination, or if your lows don't get down below about 72 to 75, well, then the plant is of course stressed and it'll of course knock back some yield. But what we're doing is we're flirting with those temperatures, right? We're getting lows that hit 70 and we're getting daytime highs that get to 95. And so we're just on the brink of what could be stress that could knock yields back across a broad sector of really good farm ground that could really, you know, push markets in one way. But instead, we go right up, we toe the line and we just never go past it. And as a result, we just keep seeing day after day the folks waiting on the weather to go bad somewhere. And it just gets close enough to almost get there, but never move over that line.
That's corn. Soybeans are an August crop. What's that month look like to you?
Well, it's strange. So last night, we just got brand new updates from the European weeklies. That's what it's called. So twice a week, on Monday night and on Thursday night, the European model will run out 46 days. And what we do is we look at it for any sort of a trend. And what it's done is it's kept August hot, but stormy. So nothing's shutting down that Gulf. So now all of a sudden you look and see across the whole of where we go soybeans in the United States, and none of the models are pointing toward dry. So when you get that, who knows if it's going to happen or not, but everyone's going to see that trades soybeans and go, well, why in the world would I predict, you know, a massive drought and go completely contrarian to the best model in the world, you know, the European. And so that's what we seem to have for August. So it looks as if it's going to stay hot and stormy. And to be honest, that's a bit of a rare combination for a summer for us.
Anything from China this week?
Yeah, well, I'm waiting to see what we end up getting out of some reports from some boots on the ground in China, because there's a front there. It's called the Meiyu Front. That's and it's a stationary front that tends to set up south of Beijing. Now, you may be seeing on some news reports the massive flooding along that front, and it's clipping some of their productive farm ground that, again, is south of Beijing. We really watch very closely north of the Korean Peninsula. That's where they have a lot of their farm ground that grows a lot of corn and soybeans. And I can't report much problems there, but there is flooding in China's southern growing areas, and it may become market newsworthy at some point as we move forward. But we'll have to just wait and see what happens there.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Eric Snodgrass is with Nutrien Ag Solutions.